You know, there's something very powerful about meeting with a group of people who want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and hear the gospel. That's a powerful, supernatural thing, and I feel so blessed and privileged to be here. I've entitled this message, Blessings and Obedience. Now note the order of the title. I didn't call it Obedience and Blessings, but Blessings and Obedience. Our blessing does not begin with our obedience. Our blessing begins with His blessing. And obedience comes as a fruit of His blessing. Now, let's read this passage of Scripture together in Exodus chapter 23, beginning in verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee. Now, the angel that he's speaking of is not the angels that we just heard sung about. This is the uncreated angel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to see that as we read this passage of Scripture together. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is God's blessing. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Now, there's God's blessing, isn't it? And next we have obedience. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then, here's the blessing, I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee into the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I'll cut them off. Now here's the blessing, the obedience. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And you shall serve the Lord your God. And here's the blessing in that obedience. He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I'll make all thine enemies to turn their backs unto thee. And I'll send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased, and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land under your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Now here is obedience. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Now, this passage of Scripture begins with God's blessing. I'll send my angel before thee. And he then tells them of the temporal blessings that they will receive in obedience and the trouble that they'll bring upon themselves in disobedience. And indeed, throughout the history of Israel, if you read the Old Testament, you know this is so. When they obeyed God's commands, he blessed them temporally, materially, in a miraculous way. And when they disobeyed God's commands, he brought great trouble into their lives. You cannot read their history without coming to that conclusion. But how clearly we see the gospel in this passage of Scripture. This is about something much greater than temporal blessings. Now, I like temporal blessings. I'm thankful for them and I want to have them. But it's okay if I don't. But I must have spiritual blessings. And those are the blessings that in reality I'm most interested in. The spiritual blessings that there are in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 20 once again. Behold, I send an angel before thee. Now this angel is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go on reading in verse 20, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I prepared. Beware of him and obey him, his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. Now, who's the only one who has the right to pardon transgression? Christ himself. Remember when they said, who is this that forgiveth sins? Only God can do that. They were right. Only God can do it. The Lord Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. He's got the authority to forgive my sins. Look what it says in verse 7. The last part of verse 21. For my name is in him. God's name is all that he is. All of his attributes dwell in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. So this angel, this blessing he's speaking of, this angel he sends is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says, behold, I send an angel before thee. And isn't it great having him before us? Every aspect of salvation, every doctrine, I don't care what you're talking about, Christ always comes first in it. He is before all things. And by him, all things consist. Every blessing we have has Christ before it. Election. Isn't it wonderful to be chosen by God? Well, why did he choose you? He chose you in Christ. Christ is before. He's before all things. You know, one of these days we're going to learn real clearly that salvation was altogether for Christ's sake. We believe it now, but you know when I'm really going to understand it? I'm going to understand it when I hear my name called on Judgment Day and he goes before me and answers for me, present and accounted for. I'm going to understand real clearly at that time that salvation was wholly for his sake. And I love it that way, don't you? He'll go before you. My angel shall go before thee. Isn't that a blessing? To have Christ before you? My angel shall go before thee to keep thee in the way. Now, Christ is the way. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'll show you the way. He said, I'm it. I love that. And only the Lord can speak like this. I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the way, and I stay in the way because he keeps me in the way. That's the reason I persevere. He keeps me in the way. Why haven't I fallen away? One reason. He's kept me. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I'm kept by the great angel, the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps me in the way to bring me into the place which I have prepared. He will bring us into heaven, the place that God has prepared. Believer, you'll get there for one reason. He brings you there. He brings you there. I love that. He brings me there. There's no way that somebody that Christ died for will miss heaven. Christ brings them in. How certain is this? Well, according to the Scripture, I'm already glorified. I'm already there in the person of my great Redeemer, the one I'm united with. He's already in heaven, and as he's already in heaven, I'm already there. I'm already glorified. That's how certain this is. Now, this is God's blessing. I'll send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I've prepared. Now, that covers every aspect of God's salvation. This is a great blessing, isn't it? Now, let's go on reading. Look what he says next. And I think this is so interesting because the natural man objects to this and they think it'll lead to indifference and spiritual sloth and fatalism. You're not giving people a motive for obedience. I mean, if they're already in heaven, why obey? Why worry about anything? That's the way the natural man responds to this kind of teaching. But look what the Lord says, verse 21. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he'll not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Beware of him, be afraid of him, obey his voice. Now, listen real carefully. Faith Now, I'm not going to be saved without faith. You know that. Faith is obedience to His command. We are commanded to believe the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's command to you. And thou shalt be saved. And faith is obeying that command. Repentance is obedience to the command of God. God commands all men everywhere to repent. When I repent, I'm obeying His command. I'm obeying His voice. Love to Christ is obedience. He that keepeth my commandments, he it is that loveth me. You keep the commandments of the gospel. You believe the gospel. You love His people. It's not just admiring His commandments or knowing what they are, but it's actually keeping them. Keeping them. I keep His commandments when I believe the gospel. I actually keep His commandments. When I love you, I keep His commandments. That's the person who will be saved, the person who obeys His commandments. As a matter of fact, worship. Worship. What's the best definition of worship? Obedience. You want to know what worship is? It's obeying His voice. We will not be saved apart from obedience to His voice. Now it says, provoking not. If we fail to beware of Him and obey His voice, and if we provoke Him, it says He will not pardon our sin. Now you see that? If I don't obey the gospel, my sin will not be pardoned. There's no forgiveness of sin apart from obedience to the gospel. And the person who does not keep His commandments will not be saved. Now, I believe in the eternal security of God's elect. Everybody that Jesus Christ died for, they must be saved. And they cannot fall away. It's impossible. Now, do I use that as a springboard for disobedience? No. No, I know I'm secure in Christ, and that makes me give myself to Him. I want to be obedient to Him, don't you? I want to obey everything He says to me. Now, He says, obey His voice. Don't provoke Him, for He won't pardon your transgressions. My name is in Him. Verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey His voice, and that's believing the gospel, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Now, in obeying the gospel, we have this blessing. He says, I'm going to be an enemy to your enemies. Now, I got enemies. I got enemies. You know who the first one comes to my mind? My sin. My sin. My sin is my enemy. My sinful nature is my enemy. I could go on and on about my enemies. Death is my enemy. But He's going to be an enemy to my enemies. My sin, in believing the gospel, He puts it away. Death, He's overcome it. He's destroyed it. And anybody that's an enemy to me, the Lord counts that person His enemy. That gives you some confidence, doesn't it? This is true of every believer. If I'm a believer, anybody who's an enemy to me, the Lord counts that person His enemy. Remember what He said to Saul as he persecuted believers? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, Christ was at the right hand of the Father. He couldn't do anything to Christ, but if He touched His people, He was touching the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's how real union with the Lord Jesus Christ is. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You see, God's elect's enemies, all of them are going to be destroyed. Now, look at verse 23. He says, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites, or the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I'll cut them off. Now, the promised land had these people in it, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of God, will cut off these enemies that are spoken of. And He'll separate you from them, and He'll cut them off, and they will be no more. Now, these six nations represent our enemies, and there's a meaning to every one of these names. And you want to know who my big enemies are? Well, here they are.
Amorites. Now that word is taken out of the word
that means to boast self. That's an enemy, isn't it? I tell you, even now, the pride and the self-righteousness that's in my heart, some of the thoughts that pass through my heart, absolutely scare me to death. How could I be so proud and self-righteous? That's an enemy. But he's promised he's going to cut him off. Hittite means terror and fear. That's talking about the fear of unbelief. The fear you have when you can't just trust the Lord. And you're afraid about what's going to happen. You're afraid about what this person is going to do or what that person's going to do or what's going to happen to you. You're afraid. What's going to happen? That's the opposite of faith. You see, faith believes God. Faith rests in God. The outcome's in His hands. But when I'm scared to death, that's the fear of unbelief. What an enemy that is. The Perizzites. That means unwalled. No restraints. Now, you want to talk about an enemy. The thought of not having His restraining grace, the thought of not being restrained. You know, I want the Lord to restrain me, don't you? I want Him to hedge me up. I want Him to keep me. I want Him to not let me. I want to be a robot. I really do. Somebody says, what you believe makes robots into people. Well, I think that's a good thing. I'd like to be His robot, wouldn't you? Programmed to do His will. I want to be restrained. I don't want to be left to myself. I need His restraints. It scares me to death to think of not being restrained. You have any idea how wicked you would be right now if God removed the restraints? You and I would both be as bad as Satan himself. You believe that? It's so. And we need His restraining grace. Unwalled. That scares me to death. Canaanites. That means a merchant. Or a peddler. Somebody who sells something. It has something to do with salvation by works. Salvation by works is my enemy. My enemy. I can't be brought into heaven if I'm going to be saved by my works. Salvation by works is my enemy. A Hivite means a villager. A part of this world. Don't you? You know, I hate the world. I do. I hate this present evil world. And I hate my flesh that loves it. This is my enemy. This is my enemy. And I need it cut off. And then Jebusites means trodden and polluted. Trodden and polluted. Now you can see why these are our enemies. Look down in verse 29. Look what God says. He says, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate. And the beast of the field multiply against thee. Now He says, you go into this land. And I'm not going to drive them out all at once. They're still going to be there. He says, by little, look in verse 30, by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Now we still have this flesh. After they entered the promised land, they still had to battle these enemies. And God said, I'm not going to drive them out all at once. Now don't you find, you still have to deal with the Amorites. In your own heart and in your own soul. You still have to deal with the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Yet the Lord God in wisdom for our good, does not get rid of them immediately. You know, the Lord could make it to you never sinned again, couldn't He? He surely could. He could make it to where you never even had another sinful thought again if He was so pleased to do it. But somehow it would not be for our benefit just yet. There would be no need for faith believing what you cannot see. Now understand this. Faith is believing what you cannot see. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now I was thinking about that. And turn with me. Hold your finger there and turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Verse 11. Likewise, Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed, truly, unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you reckon yourself to be dead to sin. Sin has absolutely nothing to say to you. You're dead to it. Seems like if I was dead to it, I wouldn't be so sinful. Seems like if I was dead to sin, I wouldn't have these sinful thoughts. I wouldn't be dealing with the Amorites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and all these. Seems like if I was dead to sin, that wouldn't be the case. If God says you're dead to sin, are you dead to sin? You're called upon to believe it. You can't see it, but do you believe it? You know that word reckon? Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, truly to sin, and alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That word reckon is the word impute. Impute. God imputed my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. It became His, truly and really. He died for it. God took the righteous obedience of His Son and imputed it to me. And it is mine. It is mine. And in light of that, I can impute myself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I might not be able to see it, but I believe it. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. So this is actually a blessing that the Lord allows the Amorites and the Jebusites and the Hivites and so on to be in our midst. But they'll be done one day. They'll be gone one day. He's promised I'll cut them off. Now, be patient with me. Be patient with me. I'm a work in progress. I still have those Jebusites running around, and I've got those Amorites and those Hittites and Hivites, or however you pronounce them, Perizzites. I've got them, so do you. You know that. The Lord said, I'm not going to take them all out. I'm just going to take them out little by little. But one of these days, He's going to get rid of all of them. So be patient with me until then, and by the grace of God, I'll be patient with you. Ought not we to be patient with one another? Amen. Surely we should. Well, let's go back to our text in Exodus 23. Verse 24. Now he's talked about these blessings. Now here's another act of obedience we're called upon to obey. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. There is no room for the toleration of false religion. He that does not hate the false does not love the true. David said, I esteem all thy precepts in all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Do not give a false gospel any religious respect. Now don't do it. It's anti-Christ. It's anti-God. And I'm not going to respect that. You know, a lot of folks, they get upset about somebody who's intolerant of the false gospel. Well, you see, we take it personal because this is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ we're speaking about. That's why we get so upset over that which is contrary to Him. Now, do not tolerate that which is contrary to the gospel. He says, don't adopt their methods. Don't do after their works. Don't be conformed to this world. I was talking to a preacher recently, and he was talking about, maybe you've heard of that book, The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life and all that kind of stuff, but that's taken the country by storm. It's becoming very popular. And I remember the preacher said, now I know that their theology is wrong. I know their theology is wrong, but perhaps we can adopt some of their methods because they really work. Don't do after their works. What if they do work? That's taking that the end justifies the means mentality. Don't pay any respect to a false gospel that's anything contrary to the gospel of God's sovereign grace in Christ Jesus. Don't adopt their methods. If the methods are wrong, the message is going to go out the window. You can just count on it. No, utterly overthrow and break down their images. Verse 25, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. We're servants of the living God. Isn't it wonderful to be his servant? You know, my bread is blessed. My water is blessed. You know, everything in my life is a blessing. Everything. Verse 26. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I'll send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I'll make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I'll send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. Now, I'll not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate. See, it would not be for their benefit for them to take them all out at once, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. Now, here we have God's providence. What a blessing that is. He says, I'm going to send the hornet before you. I'm going to drive them out before you. Now, here's a precious verse of Scripture. Everybody in here knows. Would to God that we could hear it like we've heard it the first time. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You know, that was true yesterday. Everything that happened to you yesterday and last year and 10 years ago, it was all part of God's purpose. No accidents with Him. Doesn't matter what it was, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It's true right now. And beloved, it'll be true tomorrow. I'll drive them out, not all at once. That wouldn't be for our good. Listen to this, and I want to say this carefully, but I want you to hear what I'm saying. Even our sin serves its purpose. It forces us to look nowhere but Christ alone. And it keeps us looking to Him only as our only righteousness before God. Your sin does that to you, doesn't it? Now, this is not looking for excuses. You know, Paul knew when he said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And then he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And I'm sure an unbeliever will hear that. And he'll say, well, if that's the case, sin all you want. Grace is going to abound. But that's not going to be the believer's response to that. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I am not in any way giving an excuse for anybody's sin under any circumstance, but it's still true. My sin makes me really trust Christ only as the only righteousness I have. It really does. And I rejoice in Him. Now here's God's promise, verse 30. By little and little, I'll drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I'll set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Now verse 32. He's talking about this blessing, and here's obedience. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Now, what's a covenant? A covenant is an agreement between two parties. Make no covenant with the men of this world. If you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, I'll do that. No, I'm not to make any covenant with this world. Evil communications, corrupt good manners. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You remember what James said? Whosoever is a friend of the world is an enemy to God. Love not the world,
neither the things that are in the world, for all that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever.
Now, we're not to enter into covenant with the religion of this world, with the maxims of this world, with the principles of this world. It's corrupt. Whoever's a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, does that mean we walk around with our noses up in the air and say, "Stand by thyself and come not near unto me,
for I'm holier than thou," and we just stay away from everybody and try to keep ourselves in some kind of insulated little environment?
No. This world is also the world that God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This world is the world we're called upon to be a light unto it. Ye are the light of the world. We're to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we're not trying. Listen to me real carefully. We're not trying to reform worldly religion. We're not trying to improve worldly religion. Just let it go. Let it go. But we are seeking to be a witness to this world concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And we certainly want to preach the glorious gospel to them that saved us. We want to preach the gospel to those people, the same gospel that has saved us. I want everybody to hear the gospel, don't you? May God enable us to be a blessing to this world in that sense. Let's pray together.